Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation, Captain Picard is pushed beyond the limit.
Grand.
The Enterprise is put into deadly danger.
It's an Earth drink. Prune juice.
Warrior's drink.
Explosions are happening all over the place.
Hot chocolate, please.
Fatal annihilation is imminent.
Tell him he's a pretty cat. And a good cat.
And this guy comes back. The crew faces a countdown to disaster on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Sundays at 6 on SVN 20.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 142 featuring Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham with Chris Coleman and the Sarcastic Voyage unpaid voice acting players.
Live from my soundproof booth. Poof, poof, boof. It's Sarcastic
Voyage.
Saturday
night!
Yes, hi, hello, I'm in the closet.
And I'm in my bedroom, yeah, where I normally record this thing.
Are you like, face down, well, not face down, but like on your elbows, like with your knees up in the air, like on your princess phone? You know what I'm talking about? Like,
I actually am.
Wow. That's creepy.
Now I'm waving my feet in the air like I just don't care.
Matt, you need to care.
No.
Damn it, you need to care.
You need to give a care.
Stop not giving a care.
Start hanging stockings with more care.
Look, Santa knows, man. He can tell.
I know what Santa knows. Don't tell me.
If he comes down that chimney and sees that those stockings were hung haphazardly, he will just pass you by.
Oh, no. You've hung these stockings all over the place.
With no care at all.
I'm the Elephant Man.
What? Is John Merrick suddenly Santa Claus?
The Santa Elephant Man.
Is that from something, or are you
No, that's not from anything.
Or is that you sitting on your bed weird and the blood rushing to your head and giving you strange visions of...
Hello, little girl.
Well, visions of the Elephant Man danced with care.
Why don't you brush against my huge, horrible face?
They call this disease elephantiasis. It's not a very inventive name.
It was hard to get this hat on my head.
Rudolph won't make eye contact with me.
You know what I would like for Christmas? Not to be in constant agony.
Now I'm picturing the elves. They all have that disease that Eric Stoltz had in that movie Mask.
Oh, God. Masks disease?
Yes. Rocky Dennis disease. These things are a drag. The wind in my hair, sand in my shoes, and the sun shining on my face.
I thought you said Rocky Dentist disease.
Yes. That's where Sylvester Stallone operates on your teeth with boxing gloves. How do you do root canals with boxing gloves on?
It's not too easy.
Dear Hungry Shark.
That's right, we have now descended into Sylvester Stallone impressions.
Finally, we've reached the caliber of comedians in the 1980s.
Now we can do Jack Nicholson impressions, Christopher Walken impressions.
Christian Slater impressions.
Well, we've already done a Christian, so we have a fantastic Christian Slater impression.
That's true.
I refer you back to episode one, Shoot First and Ask Christian Slater. I don't remember the episode number. But
first scene in episode 341. Shoot first and ask Christian Slater, true believers. edit in Matt.
Right. No, it has to be alliterative. Come on.
Oh,
Mindful Matt.
There you go.
Remember in Robotham.
What's your Stan Lee name?
Oh, God. Algar.
That's terrible. I quit.
You can't quit. You're fired.
Good.
So is the bullpen in my closet?
Is that the bullpen in your closet?
Is there a bull in here?
There's a bull in here, and he's trying to fire Jack Kirby.
But he's got him chained to the desk. It's very awkward.
Work harder. I'm a bull.
I'm a bull.
That guy's story checks out.
I'm picturing the bull from that Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I've mentioned this before, but it's one of my favorite stories about the Looney Tunes guys. Do you know that that cartoon, first of all, won an Oscar, like, for yes. Best Animated Short, which is
for
great.
Best Rabbit.
Yeah, I don't. It might have been, but I don't think they had introduced Best Rabbit yet. I don't think they introduced that category until Fatal Attraction in 1987.
Well, there's no cups in it, so I know it didn't get that award.
No, Best Cup is not an Oscar. It's not an Academy Award. That's a whole other thing. The Bureau of Cups handles Best Cup.
The Bureau of Cups, Spoons, and Cutlery.
Right. And firearms. no, but apparently the producers or the whoever ran the studio, Warner Studio back in the day, walked up to all the animators and directors and out of the blue, not apropos of nothing, said, "Do not make a cartoon about bullfighting. Bullfighting is not funny," and walked away.
Bullfighting is not and has never been funny.
And then nobody mentioned it. He just said that. And they all looked at each other and are like, "So we're definitely doing a cartoon about bullfighting now, right?" And so they're based in Southern California, LA, or something like that. And so they pop over the border one day, they go into Mexico, and they watch a bullfight and take notes and write an Academy Award-winning short out of spite. I love that.
That really speaks to our creative spirit, I feel.
That's sort of the beginning of I consider American comedy, but it might also extend to the Canadian mindset, just that rebellious, you know, doing the, you know, it's comedy of spite.
Whatever you do, don't do this. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, now we're definitely doing that, right?
Yeah, everyone's agreed on that, right?
Oh, of course.
So fuck this guy.
We're calling it Poochie, right? Now I just want to go watch that. I may just do that. Well, I can't do it from here in the closet, but I'll get there eventually. So I want to talk about this real quick. I talked about this a week or two ago where I had noises in the closet and I couldn't do it. I figured my way around that, and now every week, twice a week, really, between Sarcastic Voyage and Post-Atomic Horror, I record from the closet. You can barely hear the airplanes because I do live at satellite parking at SeaTac.
Right.
You can barely hear those now.
Like you do.
Yeah. And I'm surrounded by soundproofing and clothes and comics, and it gives a great dampening effect. It also sucks all the oxygen out of here. So that our episodes can now no longer be more than 90 minutes or I will die. Which Matt loves because he's, you know, you enjoy being here. You like doing this, but you get antsy after about the hour mark. You're like, I got video games to play, man. I got whatever other stupid crap I do to do.
I got like 8 video games waiting to be played over here.
Name them. Name them now.
All right. I got Silent Hill 2. Oh. I got Batman Arkham City. I got Amnesia The Dark Descent. I got Super Mario Brothers 3, which I'm always playing. I got Tetris. I got Wolfenstein 3D on cell phone. I got
you forgot Donkey Paul Kong.
I got Donkey Kong 2 through 4, and I have Secret of Monkey's Face.
Secret of Monkey's Face.
Yes.
Have you solved the Secret of the Monkey's Face yet?
Yeah, the secret of the monkey's face is that he's covered in sores.
That's a terrible secret.
Didn't say it was a good game.
Please do not reveal the terrible secret of monkey's sores. That's the second or third most sore-ridden monkey face I've ever seen.
Nice monkey sore.
So where was I? Oh, the closet. Right. So you may notice now there's a bit of less of an echo. There are fewer airplanes. So that's nice, but I do feel a little strange in here for some reason. I can't put my finger on why that I have, I don't know, less than a foot around me maneuverability that I feel strange. And yet I feel strange.
Like recording from inside a coffin.
No, it's not quite that comfortable. Is the thing. I've never really understood why coffins are made to look comfortable, because it sort of seems irrelevant.
Yeah, just sling his corpse in a box.
Yeah, I guess burial. I also think that I will not be buried, but fine. Yeah. That's a tradition, whatever. But they make them so cushy and comfy, like silk-lined. Like, why? Why does your coffin need bling?
I assume that they started off as just boxes you tossed a corpse into, but as vampires became more and more prevalent, they started buying up all the coffin industries and making them much nicer so that they could sleep in them.
That's also how they make their money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the whole, it's a whole mob thing. It's a whole vampire mob backing the coffin industry thing. It's like Godfather 3, only instead of the church, it's the coffin industry. What's going on over there?
I don't know.
This segment refuses to be produced.
It really does.
For one reason or another, we just keep having problems with it. I don't get it, right? Maybe we got too close to this whole coffin thing.
I guess. It must be some sort of a conspiracy.
No, it's just vampires. Don't be ridiculous, Matt. Don't talk crazy. It's just the vampires.
It's just vampires and nothing else.
Right. Vampires.
There's no secret cabal of vampires running the world.
No. There's the openly known cabal of vampires that they trade on NASDAQ. They're completely transparent.
Only when they get close to a mirror.
Right. Wait, what? Oh, okay. I see what you did there. That is a very clever thing you said about vampires.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Well, that's the important thing, isn't it? You also enjoy me being sealed in an airtight box while I record, don't you?
I really do enjoy that.
Yeah.
And your soundproof boof.
My soundproof boof from Teen Wolf.
What a great name.
Boof. Yeah, a human name. I am a human. My name is Boof.
Who is this Boof?
Set coordinates for Boof. All right. I think that's about enough. I think maybe we should play some bits for the fine people. What do you
think? Get out of here while we still have something.
Yes. So we will be back in a moment with our guest Fourth Man. In the meantime, listen to these bits.
Evening, officer. We got here as soon as we could. Come along, Miss Pretty Whiskers. The commissioner's message was rushed, but I understand there was some sort of a murder here.
That's right, sir. Hell of a thing. I've never seen such a brutal murder in all my years on the force.
Oh, Miss Pretty Whiskers and I have seen plenty of dastardly crimes in our time.
Yes. Well, that's why the commissioner called you, Mr. Price. You've helped us out plenty of times in the past.
The first things first. Miss Pretty Whiskers, please take a look at the corpse and see if you can identify her cause of death. Excellent. Excellent.
Mr. Price?
Shush, my good man. Miss Pretty Whiskers is working.
It looks like she's licking the corpse.
Indeed. Getting a sense of the victim.
I don't know if that's great for the evidence.
Nonsense. Miss Pretty Whiskers is the consummate professional.
Sir, do you often bring your cat to murder investigations?
Miss Pretty Whiskers is not merely my cat. She's my companion, my partner, and my closest friend. And a finer investigative mind you will never find.
Ah, I only ask because she appears to be sleeping on the victim's chest.
Indeed. All part of the process.
So, how long do we... Oh!
Yes! She spotted something, officer! Quickly, follow her!
Where is she taking us?
That house. There, I think you'll find your murderer. Look, she's scratching at the door. Get the door, officer! The door! There is your culprit!
That's a woman opening a can of tuna.
Indeed. It is often the case in crimes of this nature that the guilty party will celebrate with a can of tuna fish or a bag of catnip. Occasionally, even a length of string.
Uh-huh. And that always happens when you and your cat solve crimes.
Oh, yes. Quite often. Surely you read in the paper about the case of the laser pointer slasher.
That was you, was it?
Well, credit where credit is due, Miss Pretty Whiskers did solve the crime.
Right. Like always.
Why are you in my house?
Enough talk, you murderer. Take her away, officer. Good work, Miss Pretty Whiskers. Another case solved.
Sarcastic Voyage has embarked on a modest undertaking to chronicle the entirety of human history in sketch form. Join us as we uncover the mysteries of the past in our ongoing feature, which we call History. It's not as good as it used to be. Mesopotamia, 3100 BC. It was then that the first cities appeared at the convenient intersection of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. The Mesopotamians, not content with that, also created early forms of writing. The first recorded story, the Epic of Gilgamesh, and Hammurabi's famous code of laws date to this time. In short, civilization had begun.
Hey, you been following that Gilgamesh?
You know, I was. I fell behind for a little while there. Read the cuneiform comments after Tablet 7 came out, and the word is it's nowhere near as good as it used to be.
Ah, you know how comments are. You should never scroll down.
What are scrolls?
Ah, hello, officers. Somebody sent for me.
Oh, good. Mr. Hammurabi, is it?
Mr. Hammurabi was my father. I'm just Hammurabi.
Wasn't King Sinmubalat your father who repelled the army of Ur and...
Yes, we all know what he did. I did create the world's first code of laws.
Well, sir, it's your code of laws that's sort of the problem. There's a killer out there murdering people he feels have transgressed each of your 282 laws.
This most recent victim is the owner of a grain supplier who did not pay the grain warehouse owner the agreed-upon value of 1/60th of the total cost of the grain storage fees in advance. We found the body stuffed to bursting with grain.
Will you please stop saying grain?
Pardon me. But you see that man running very slowly away over there? We think that's our guy.
Come on, after him.
Oh man, he's getting away in the massive piles of garbage that our culture has haphazardly discarded right in the streets.
We really ought to do something about that.
You know, I'm certain I made murder against the code as well.
Hello, 811.
There's a fire here. Please, send help.
Oh, I'm sorry, we can't help with actual emergencies. You've reached 811, the hotline for lesser emergencies. That sounds truly horrible. I wish I could help you. I told you, this number is for lesser emergencies. Please clear the line, ma'am. Hello, 811.
Hello, this is Pierre von Frank Bob, the world-renowned mushroom physicist.
I'm sorry, did you say mushroom physics?
That is correct.
And what is that exactly?
Well, imagine if you had a pack of circus peanuts.
The candy?
No, never mind that. Imagine an elephant.
A full-grown elephant?
Yes. Now imagine this elephant was launched on a rocket capable of going the speed of light.
I thought nothing could go the speed of light, except light.
I said imagine!
Okay.
And as it approaches infinite velocity, it also approaches infinite mass. That means that this elephant is literally everywhere in the universe.
Sir, do you have an emergency for us? A lesser emergency?
No. I'm just lonely.
Hello, 811.
This is Aaron Fawcett.
How can I help you, Mr. Fawcett?
My new car doesn't have any keys. You just carry this dongle fob around and it senses that you're in the car.
A dongle fob.
That's right. Government wants to equip us all with dongle fobs so it can track our movements. I'm on to you.
Sir, while this hotline is funded by municipal taxes, I can assure you...
Municipal? Oh, God. I never registered my lawnmower. You can't make me pigs. You'll never catch me.
Hello, 811.
Okay. I think I got this fire down to a containable level. Can you come over now?
Well, how containable are we talking here? Nope. Call us back when it reaches inconvenient levels. Hello, 811.
Hi,
Speak up, sir. This is 811.
Hi, my girlfriend left me.
Sir, I'm not sure we're equipped to find you a new girlfriend.
I'm never gonna find a new girlfriend. I'm gonna end it all right now. I'm standing on the roof of my building and I'm going to jump.
Is the building more than 7 stories?
It's 40 stories. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna jump.
Sir, I'm sorry, but that's a 911 matter. We're only here for lesser emergencies.
Wait, no. The building is only 4 stories.
So, like, you'd only break your leg if you jumped?
Yes, exactly. Please talk to me. I'm so lonely.
A lot of that going around this evening. Hello, 811.
Hi, see, my problem is I can't seem to get this cheese open.
I think... Hang on a sec.
Hey, Carl, can we handle hard to open cheese?
Yeah, no, that's actually too trivial. Try 711. Hello, 811.
I have
Is this a butt call?
Maybe.
Finally, that is what we do here. Now, stay calm, sir. I know this can be embarrassing for you. First of all, is the object currently alive, dead, or inanimate?
Hypothetically, the third one?
No need for hypotheticals, sir. We're professionals. Tell you what, just let me read off a common list of items, and you cough when I get to the correct one. Bowling trophy. Bottle of hand sanitizer. Light bulb. Was that a cough?
Sort of.
Let me go to the other list here. Christmas light. Touch lamp. One of those standing IKEA lamps. Those twisty, energy-efficient bulbs. Yikes.
Yeah, it's tangled around my colon.
All right, Sacrotor, it's 3:00. Looks like my calendar's free for the rest of the afternoon. I'm gonna go see a movie. Wonder if that John Carter flick is still playing.
Sorry, Mr. Faces, you have one more appointment for the day. It's the...
Oh, no. Skeletor, my man, good to see you again. What's it been, a day?
Considering the rather hefty retainer you've claimed, I believe I have the right to see you whenever I wish.
Of course, of course. Listen, ST, gotta tell ya, we've gotten no further on this defamation of character suit against Frank Langella than we did last week, or the week before that, or any of the intervening weeks since that movie came out in 1987.
Never mind that! I have something new!
Really?
Yes! Listen to this!
He-Man, I'm Dan Aykroyd.
I think we're gonna take a break and hear some bits.
My
now.
Head is full of vodka.
What am I listening to here?
This is a popular internet podcast program called Sarcastic Voyage!
Popular? Really?
Well, they have a very loyal audience. Anyway! Did you hear that?
What, you want to sue these podcast guys for talking about you? Because that's a precedent that I'm not sure...
No! I want to sue Dan Aykroyd. This podcast has made me aware of the fact that he's been peddling vodka in a bottle in the shape of my head. For years, Skeletor demands his cut.
Skeletor, in fairness, all skulls look pretty much the same.
What a racist thing to say. I demand that you summon Dan Aykroyd on the phone this instant.
Well, as it happens, I actually have a number of messages here from him for you.
What?
Oh, he's been calling everyone in Hollywood with even the slightest deformity.
So racist!
Asking them to be in Ghostbusters 3. I figured you wouldn't be interested.
You figured correctly. Unless... Wait, does he want me to play Venkman? Come on! Have you seen Bill Murray lately? I'm practically his body double! Well, face double. I'm still pretty ripped.
Must be all that plastic surgery you've had.
You can't really tell that I've had Botox, can you?
Now at McBurgerty's, try our new gross salad. We start with an unwashed handful of slimy lettuce, throw in a few cucumbers that were too pathetic to make it as pickles, and top it all off with some shredded orange matter that might or might not be carrots. The new gross salad. Slather it in our new salty jalapeno garlic mayo sauce to help choke it down. Now for a limited time at McBurgerty's.
And we are back. And we have a guest with us to answer mail, and his name is Chris.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
You may also know him as Fourth Man.
That too?
Yes.
I do answer that.
This is off to a swimming start. I even fucked that up. God, I can't even mock myself right. God damn it.
All of this is shit.
Ugh, terrible.
Guys. Yeah? It's okay. It's not your fault.
The podcast is crumbling around us.
It's falling to pieces, and you're the only one who can save us. So
our mighty empire.
Yes. Do we have an empire?
Yeah.
Did Kublai Khan decree a stately pleasure dome?
Hang on.
Kublai Khan.
I am Oz. Wait, I used to know this.
I don't know. Two of each. The biggest private zoo since Noah, Matt. Come on, pick up the pace.
And it do.
Yes. Hey, why don't we answer some mail instead of
a good idea.
Trying to get Matt to recognize lines from Citizen Kane and failing?
Yes.
Well, all right. First one we have here comes from English Gav.
Oh.
And he says, hello, Matt, Al, the ghost and possible guest. Did I miss something? Is there a ghost?
Oh, Gav.
I've recently read an article that the U.S. Navy are wanting to build solid-state laser weapons so they can destroy small boats and aircraft without using bullets. What's their problem with bullets? You can't have a brick full of lasers, can you?
That's going way back there.
Holy shit.
Our pal, Gregory, I actually tracked this back to who wrote it because it was so damn funny I wanted to give proper credit. We had this thing on the old message board, right, like Frank Miller Day. And everyone chipped in and wrote ridiculous, over-the-top noir dialogue and such. He just wrote this great, and it was like a brick full of bullets. So great.
Yeah, that's good.
Though if you could, I'd imagine they'd shatter in a spectacular light explosion. And he gives a link here. Can you explain it to me? There's another question, but we'll address this one first.
I always enjoy when Gav shows his work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure this goes on and on about science in a way that I couldn't possibly comprehend. Chris, what about you? What do you think about this whole laser deal?
I think it's part of the military's green killing initiative. You know, less shells, mm-hmm. more the diffusion of biomass rather than shrapnel. Mm-hmm. It just sounds way more environmentally friendly.
Oh yeah, well you got like your landmines that exploded in a puff of potpourri.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, well, it depends on what are we talking about, the fluorocarbon ones? Or are we talking about, you know, the organic landmines?
Organic landmines?
Yeah, there's the organic ones, and then you've also got the slightly less well-known napalm that shoots Febreze.
That's true.
Yeah, but there's nothing less organic than Febreze, Matt.
Well, I'm not saying it's a good idea.
That's fair.
It's better than the coal-burning napalm they used to use.
That's true.
Wow. No, I'm picturing finally have a house and a yard and a grill, and I'm thinking it's so much of a pain in the ass to light these coals. It would be so much easier if I had coal-burning napalm to cook my food.
I really wish I could get a hold of some napalm. Yeah, just, no. You know, it's such a pain in the ass to light my grill.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're following.
Somebody's got to write the jingle for napalm. I can't believe that napalm's gone this long without a jingle.
So, you know, I'm thinking blue napalm. You know, the whole coal thing.
Hello, friends. Is your napalm not...
Has this Vietnam War got you down?
Somebody's got a case of the Kong.
I do like that this article... that he links to says, because it actually says this right in the URL, because America not far enough ahead of the rest of the world. That's some nice unbiased reporting there. But anyway, if we're developing blue laser technology to fight the evil red lasers the terrorists are using, I completely understand why they delayed the G.I. Joe movie until next summer.
The problem is that if they put 3D in that movie, you won't be able to actually see the lasers.
That's true. Lasers are only two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Then what will you do?
I don't know. Then you have to Hollywood will have to reinvest in bullets.
Damn it!
Sickle as the army moves away from physical based technology into light based technology, the movie industry starts just blowing shit up.
Projectors running on gunpowder.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of light, yeah, they're interchangeable. Light and gunpowder
inside of a tank.
Right. English Gav also says, I also found this website and have no idea what it's about. So bad it's good. SoBadSoGood.com, the best pop culture from around the web. Can you explain it to me? I think we proved in our Is That a Thing sketch that we're equally clueless about pop culture. I have no idea.
My God, this lion is terrifying.
And everyone knows that a comedy sketch is legally binding, so.
It looks like it's another, sort of vulture trying to pick at the corpse of magazines.
Yeah.
You know, just like sort of an aggregator. So I don't mean to give a serious answer. Sorry. But it was just kind of repulsive to me. Like it was something that it was like, oh, wow, they should actually post this next to the checkout at supermarkets because it's that visually unstimulating and it's just as easily ignored.
Chris, I don't know if you've heard this, but since Time Magazine put a breastfeeding child on the cover, magazines are back. People are buying magazines now.
Back?
Yes.
Oh, good.
They're
I was worried.
Anymore. That's what saved them. So everything's fine now. It's okay.
What a shame that only a few weeks ago I wasn't able to see an 8-year-old boy breastfeeding on the cover of a magazine.
You had to ride the bus to do that.
Oh boy.
All right. Next email comes from Dirk Walker, and he says, "Hello, podcast pals.
Well, it is P-A-L-S. That's how you know we're your pal. Mm-hmm. Long time no write, I know, but I have an urgent question. It's a would you rather, so you know it's good. Would you rather share an intimate evening with Fran Drescher's character from The Nanny or Liza Minnelli's character from Arthur? Keep your stick on the ice. That one's for you, Matt.
I don't. Is it a sports reference?
I believe that's hockey.
Oh.
Which is still going on.
Hockey never stops going on up here.
I know. It's like a perpetual motion machine. Only with
we loop back
hair.
Into like a training season or something.
I don't know.
Couldn't Seriously, know. We had a hockey strike a couple of years ago. People killed themselves.
How is it that that we now have a third person on who couldn't give 2/10 of a fuck about sports and we're talking about sports?
I don't know.
Because somebody brought up Liza Minnelli and Fran Drescher. I think that's what did it.
Given the choice between chewing our own arms off. I got it. Okay, so you want to take this one first, Chris? What do you think?
I think that if we're talking about Arthur era Liza Minnelli, somebody who's accustomed to short, drunk people, then that's who I'm going with.
Are you particularly short? I don't remember you being not tall.
You know, I didn't think I was, and then but occasionally I'll meet somebody who is. I think I'm on the slightly lower of average. Which is like it, which is so like such a minor differentiation from average, says right. Not to be no, and I've never had a problem with my height until you meet somebody like slightly taller and really into height, and it seems like there are these people out there whose personality is specifically designed to make you insecure about an aspect of your personality that you just mm-hmm. never considered before.
Sure,
and so I will occasionally throw those people a bone and call myself short, but. To be on the safe side, Liza Minnelli, and Fran Drescher, of course, has that horrible, horrible voice that diminishes whatever visual appeal she has over Liza Minnelli.
I also think that Spinal Tap era Fran Drescher, hotter than the Nanny Fran Drescher. Mm.
Yes. That is definitely true.
Still shouldn't open her mouth, but but I don't know. She had the really severe, like the tight bun thing going on, and the, mm-hmm. it's so hot. But yeah. Still, just don't talk.
Yes.
I don't know.
Luckily for me, I'm attracted to nasally voices. So.
Oh, that's true. You got a whole Janine from Ghostbusters thing. So.
I do. Also, she wears the particularly hideous clothes that I find attractive.
Which is weird because your girlfriend had a podcast and has a very nice, not nasally at all voice. That's very strange that's a thing for you.
I have many levels, Al.
Level 3 is the ice world. So you would go Fran Drescher over Liza Minnelli then?
Yeah.
See, okay, first of all, I'm confused.
Also, I can't picture Liza Minnelli in my head from that era.
Oh, gosh. She was, pretty hot. I mean, I may be going out on a limb here, but I don't know, man. Like late 70s, I liked her. I don't know all what right, to tell you.
She's also got an Oscar for what the hell is that movie? Cabaret.
Oh well, you're into that sort of thing.
No, yeah. I you know what? Even as Lucille too, I'd hit that.
Wow.
I don't know if that makes me gay or what, but...
No, it makes you an extreme Arrested Development fan, I think.
We already knew that.
Well, obviously. Listen, I'm not saying Lucille won. Like, that's
oh,
not
wow.
that crazy.
Okay, never mind.
No.
Whoa.
That's a little far.
Hi there.
No, thank you. Jessica Walter, very funny lady, but no. No.
Isn't that kind of a, what do you call it, Shelley Duvall face going on?
Whoa.
Yeah, a little bit.
Whoa, them's fighting words.
On what front?
I don't know. You know,
I mean, are you defending Shelley Duvall or are you...
No.
Okay.
No.
Shelley Duvall is undefendable.
Shelley Duvall should be a controlled substance, you know, like terror should not even be subjected to...
So you're saying we should hit her with red lasers. But there was that, I mean, and you'll remember this, Chris, like I only vaguely remember it, but you're like a couple of years older than I am. So you just remember there was a couple of years there where they thought she was it, where it was like The Shining and Popeye, which didn't do well, but they thought it was gonna. And
right. And Roxanne yeah, is the,
a couple other just all at once there, like from 78, 79 to like 82.
I really think that's a residual from when indie sensibility and popular sensibility came together in the 70s when a person like Robert Altman mm-hmm. could direct a film that would
win an Oscar and get big box office. And by the way, I think that he's the guy that discovered Shelley Duvall. I think I know she's in Nashville and she's in a few
she's
other.
She's in Popeye, which is also.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. That's right.
Whenever anyone throws Robert Altman out there as like this paragon of cinema, I just say, you know, he did Popeye, right?
Right, right. But I think that that's where the fact that she's at all known to anybody comes from is the fact that you could look like that and be a star in the 70s, like Elliot Gould or sure. You know, the original Seth Rogen, as I call him.
that's not bad.
I think that's why she's, mm-hmm. she's, I'm sorry. I don't remember the question, but I don't know why we're on Shelley Duvall.
Please get off Shelley Duvall is what yeah. you're saying.
All I want is to see her open a beer bottle with her teeth. She's really got the jaw for it.
I liked her in Time Bandits. I can't really defend her in anything else. But I like everyone in Time Bandits, so there you go. All right, next one comes from Laurie, and she says, what would you ask Tia and Tamara Mowry? CNN wants to know.
Who?
She has a link here to a CNN thing, which I think has now happened, which is these famous twins, I guess, twin teen girls who, I don't know, act in shows.
Like the Olsons, I was led to when I looked at the link, I was led to believe that they were some sort of sub Olsen twin,
some sort of Demi Olsen.
Yeah, Demi Olsen or quasi Olsen.
Right.
When the moon goes black in the sky and the Demi Olsen.
Not Dead Witch Eternal lies Mary Kate something something. I don't know.
Yeah, sister chicks.
They
okay.
appear to have been bred in some sort of vat to be in Disney shows, I imagine. So
they used to be on TGIF.
I'm guessing your girlfriend probably knows who these people are, Matt.
I think so, yes.
I imagine she watches a lot of those. What is it, that show that's set on a cruise ship?
Oh.
On the Disney Channel.
Hey.
What's that?
Breaker High?
No. There's that whole weird subgenre of Disney shows that are made for, like, preteens that people in our general age bracket know, and I'm very disturbed and confused by that.
Yeah, I am too, and I have people in my house that may be swayed, have been known to sit through those shows, and it's still, like, can't you see that this is a sub-late Happy Days entertainment?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Saved by the Bell, only not quite as good.
It's not as not quite as Saved by the Bell.
Not as deep.
Not as cerebral. As,
right. it's like Saved by the Bell with the cage, and they said, dumb it down, would you?
that's why Machel Barrett is no longer on Saved by the Bell.
I found the question so reprehensible that I decided upon hearing the question that I would spoil a popular movie for everybody. That's how angry it made me. And I'm going to spoil the movie Tree of Life by Terrence Malick.
All right.
And here this is the final line of Tree of Life.
Okay.
Father. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Very nice.
We're going to get angry letters about that, but I stand by it.
Well, you know those Tree of Life.
It's all my ex-wife's fault. All right, next one comes from Blandy, and he says, Dear Al and Matt, I won't bother with the episode number since you won't remember it.
That's true.
But this is in reference to Al wanting to make his own sodas. I have mentioned that before. As a pre-wedding gift, a lady and I received a soda stream. You have to buy flavor separately, but it lets you mix soda at home. And it used sugar rather than corn syrup or that, how do you say that, aspartame?
Aspartame crap?
Aspartame?
Aspartame is correct.
I just thought you'd like to know. Love and sweet honey kisses, Blandy. Now, Chris, you live near New York, and didn't they just today decide that you can't have soda anymore?
Yes, it was on the news late last night. Bloomberg is a bit of a nanny state nutritionalist, and I don't...
Going back to the friend dresser thing.
Yeah, right. And I... I find it hard to disagree with Bloomberg on a lot of these. I think I'm with him on this. I think that...
So that you can't have soda in New York City anymore? Is that how?
No, you can't have, you can't supersize it. You're not having these like insane big gulp quantities of soda from restaurants anymore. Not in the city.
Oh,
land of the free, huh?
Shut up, Canadian. We're talking about pop, you know, right?
I know.
Okay. I think this might end up bringing back the days of soda bootlegging. I think you're going to have people renowned for their bathtub mellow yellow.
I work down the street from the 21 Club, which was a renowned speakeasy back during Prohibition, and they still have the secret wall and stuff like that. They could easily just build that right back in.
I just finished watching this great, I guess it's a full series. It was 3 episodes, British show, called The Bleak Old Shop of Stuff, which is this parody of Dickens.
Oh, right. The Mitchell and Webb show.
Yeah, well, Mitchell and Webb were in the Christmas one, but then the other 3 was just Webb. But it was still great. But there's a bit where it's set in Victorian England, and you're not allowed to show any emotions as a proper Victorian. So the man, when he had lost, thought he had lost his children, had to go to a weep-easy to mourn for his family. Fucking fantastic.
Let's keep a stiff upper lip.
Yes.
Of that.
No, there's a very sort of airplane-y, like Zucker Abrams vibe to that thing, which was fantastic. Just great sight gags and stuff like that. Really worth tracking down.
Nice.
Next one comes from Wiggins, and he says, do you know of a book that combines fantasy with science fiction, like a planet that has dragons, laser guns, and spaceships powered by horses?
I do.
Okay.
I think Shadowrun, the game, used to have novelizations, and that specifically is a game that has those things. I've never played the game or read any of the books, but I know that that has that. I would also go with Wild Cards.
George R. Martin series.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a shock.
Mm. Right.
I call you Chris, but really what I mean is Mark. Actually, I had this weird theory for a while until the Game of Thrones books went on, mm-hmm. Fire and Ice, whatever the fuck it's called,
sure.
That it was almost sort of sci-fi, because the first book has almost no supernatural or fantasy elements in it at all. I mean, a little bit, but very little.
Right.
And I almost felt like it was just another planet. Like, it could be sci-fi. It was just like another place, and it didn't really have anything to do with fantasy. But then, as the books go on, that theory went out the window. So never mind.
Sure.
Well, by the time the unicorns all start showing up.
Yeah, then my... Yeah. I will say there's this thing. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called Star Wars.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can. I think they made a couple of books based on it, too. So you can probably check those out.
Well, Chewbacca's a horse, right?
Yeah.
That's one of those 70s indies, right? Shelley Duvall's in that.
Yeah. Well, a guy like Chewbacca could not get work in films until George Lucas made it okay. I actually just saw a Muppet show, and it's the one with Mark Hamill and R2-D2 and C-3PO, and Chewbacca showed up, and he didn't have his bandolier on, and it just fucking, he's naked!
He's naked!
Just creepy as hell.
Dude, it's like my roommate! Clothes on.
All right, next one comes from Mr. Smlown, and he says, dear Matt and Al, I thought I would write, since I haven't said anything in a while, yours, M. Smlown. And I usually don't include the last part where it says sent from my Android or whatever, but it says sent from my underground lair. a lot of you guys might not realize he's not actually trapped inside the podcast anymore. That's why the Gavs came here to Seattle to let him out.
Yes.
I didn't realize he had an underground lair, though. It seems like it would be very damp.
We realized he wasn't so much trapped in the podcast as he was trapped in Al's roof.
Yeah. And so Gav came with a stick.
Poked him out.
Poked him out. But I just
unfortunately wasps had made a nest in his head.
I can't picture him getting wet because he's made of wool. He'll shrink. And a tiny clown to me is somehow even creepier than the full sized one.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Run up your various body holes.
Ah, I didn't even think of that.
Every time I picture Smlown, I picture some sort of Czechoslovakian stop motion animation like that. Yep. Like that Alice movie. Did you ever see that version of Alice in Wonderland that.
Super disturbing one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, we saw him. I mean, he was here. We have pictures of our friends, and the girls loved him. The girls were all hugging
ladies
him.
Ladies love Smlown.
Thinking it was great, and Matt was, yeah.
Dick.
Was not happy. Matt put an eye patch over his butt. Just to be safe. All right. We have several emails here from Laura. So the first one says, hey guys, so a few months ago my office moved to a new fancy downtown office. Now by fancy, I mean we're right on a busy downtown street on the ground level, and I have pretty much floor-to-ceiling windows, which means I can see all the cars on the road and all the people walking around downtown.
And that's pretty much the definition of fancy.
Yes. And since it's downtown, parking is slim, i.e. street parking only. So every day I sit at my desk and watch all the people walk right next to my car, and occasionally they'll touch it. How do I go about getting the random passersby not to touch my car?
This is easy.
Well, this email smells really good, first of all. I don't know what kind of perfume she's wearing, but quite nice. Sorry, go ahead.
Strategic dog feces. I mean, if you just put it, you don't even have to put it on your car. You just put it right off the car and watch people beeline around the...
Oh, so would you have to carry like a case full of it just to take one out every day, or would she have a dog that she would squeeze?
Yeah, I mean, all you really need is a dog to keep with you. They'll keep making feces.
I guess that's
yeah. I mean, it,
trust me.
Definitely will. If it's a real busy city street, it shouldn't be that far away from it anyway. That's and all true. She's got to do is strategically place it.
You know, I feel like she might be too dainty to handle feces, but that's just me. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Those country girls can like.
That's
you know,
true.
They act fancy, but they'll sling a bag of.
They got people for that, Matt.
They'll sling a bag of dog shit.
We fought a war over this. They have people for that. Wow. All right. What I want to know is she watching from those creepy one-way mirrors? Because otherwise, they can see her too. And if that's the case, she can just do one of those finger waggles. I bet she's got a great finger waggle.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Here's the thing. I've met Laura, mm-hmm. and she's fairly attractive.
Sure.
I hesitate from going like really attractive because you know she's involved and I'm married, so I'm committed. I'll commit to attractive.
She's not involved.
Why are they looking at her car?
That's true.
Good point. They can see in there. Why aren't they looking at her? Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good point. All right. Next one from her says, would you rather rent a tuxedo or buy a scuba suit? Well, I think renting clothes is icky. I think a tux is classier than bowling shoes, but I think the principle is still the same.
I don't know, because on the one hand, like, neither of them is stuff I get much use out of.
Oh, if I had a tuxedo, I would wear it all the time.
I own a tuxedo,
yeah.
but I am deep into my fifth decade, my 40s, and I'm into parenthood, and I would suggest that renting clothing is made for people whose waistlines change dramatically after those things happen. So,
good to know.
Rentals is the way to go after you start to let yourself go.
That's fair.
That almost sounded like a mnemonic. I like that.
It actually seems kind of dangerous that we don't have any scuba gear here in the submarine, Matt.
I mean, look, if you're gonna be in a submarine, you have to be willing to take some risks.
Yeah, but it seems like something we could mitigate easily by having scuba gear. It's like not having a parachute if we're in a plane.
You knew when we started doing a podcast that there was at least an 80% chance that we would drown to death.
Yeah, but when we started doing a podcast, it was in a dirigible and we had parachutes.
Right. That's right. So we shouldn't have left the scuba suits on the dirigible.
Well,
just like we shouldn't have these parachutes in the submarine now.
Well, we might want to go parasailing on the back of a dolphin.
That's true. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Would you have blue laser dolphin?
Dolphins with freaking no, no. But it's not time yet. Can't do it yet.
No.
Couple more years, maybe. Not yet. Again from Laura, as expressed on your podcast previously, I am not a goat. Please hereby cease and desist any further references to goathood by either you or any of your listeners. Further such goathood references will result in litigation. Okay, she can't sue us. She's our legal department. That's a conflict of interest.
I gotta say, methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Well, plus I asked Flonk about this. He's the one who hipped us to this, and he has sent us photographic proof, undisputable. Try that. The old Porky Pig trick.
Indisputable.
Yes. Proof that she is a goat. So we will put that in the show notes.
Let's see here. Yeah, that's a goat, all right.
Yep.
Yes.
Your story checks out, Flonk.
Yep. You have any further comment on this, either of you?
I think that as your legal department, you should probably check to make sure that she has cloven hoofs. I mean, whether or not she's a goat, that's not my issue. But
now, are you speaking on behalf of all evil lawyers or just you?
I am not an evil lawyer. I
or
know,
evil paralegal or whatever.
Sure. I know many of them. And Hooves is like top of the resume. It's like it's like the big, you know, it's entry level. You get your hooves. You get your hooves first day.
Right.
So.
Entry level Hooves sounds like a black metal band starring an entirely businessmen.
It's like their karaoke gig on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
All right. And one more from Laura. Since it's almost summertime, what is your favorite snowball flavor? Mine is cake batter with a splash of buttercream on top. Now, oddly, we got almost an identical question from Jesse, who says, I'm currently at Sonic enjoying a cherry slush. Do you have Sonic there? What is your favorite flavor of slush? So it's very strange that the two of them would ask us about various frozen. I don't know even what they are, but.
What is a snowball besides the obvious thing?
I think it's just whatever their regional snow cones are, but I could be
like,
wrong.
I mean, I thought so, but then it's like cake batter? What?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I'm sure we'll get yelled at for not knowing it, but
I guess.
Yeah, I don't. I'm similarly clueless. My answer was going to be something like the opposite of dog waste, which is the most reprehensible kind of snow.
You're really hung up on dog poo today for some reason.
I feel like the opposite of dog waste is cake batter.
I think it's dog food, actually. But some kind of an Alpo snow cone.
It's actually cat shit, actually.
No, we don't have snowballs or slushes here, but I will refer you to our resident Slurpee expert, Matt Southland Robotham.
Oh, my God. I was at the 7-Eleven.
Of course you were.
Third time yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that one of the clerks there was new because I'm filling up one of the cups.
Because he didn't make me use the diabetes tester before I got my 64-ounce Slurpee.
No, I was getting one of the, like, I get them in, like, the big soda cups. And this girl walks up to me and is like, you know, you can't actually put those in the soda cups. You're only allowed to use the Slurpee cups. I'm like, excuse me.
You know who I am.
At least once a day, every day, for the past 15 years. I know exactly what cup I can use.
This is exactly why they're passing laws in New York, Matt.
Yeah, I went into this 7-Eleven on 33rd Street today and ordered a big gulp and was let out in handcuffs.
Yeah.
True story.
Or hoof cuffs.
I said to the manager, Amy, who's the new girl and why haven't you tried?
We don't have Sonic here. I've never actually been to one. Do they have those up where you are, Chris?
They do. I noticed. I've never been in one. I want to say that I've never been in one, but my wife grew up in the Virginia area and went to school at Florida State, mm-hmm. and I know that in between those on that part of the East Coast that she's been in most of the fast food joints during her years in college. So she has an affinity for Sonic.
Most people down south seem to like that's their fast food place of choice.
Is it like a burger place or?
Yeah, I don't know if they specifically do burgers, but it's fast food of some kind.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But I know that I've noticed them locally because she's pointed them out, but I've never been in.
Is it named for the hedgehog?
It isn't. I don't know what it's named for.
Because I don't know why, I just, my mind thought that, and then it's like, you know, Ron Jeremy would be a great spokesperson for Sonic. Yeah, I don't know. And then Jesse also asked, follow-up question, how delicious.
I'd leave the house for Sonic.
I'd put on my gross sweatpants. Follow-up question from Jesse, how delicious are tater tots?
All right, tater tots are pretty delicious.
I've been known to as a bachelor to actually cook tater tots.
Just the frozen kind, or did you make them from scratch?
No. I don't have that. I don't have that ability.
the ability.
Not the microwavable ones.
Two in totten.
You know what I mean? Those were pretty sweet.
I'm not really a fan of potatoes in tot form.
Aww.
I like fries. I like mashed potatoes and all the others, but not really a tot fan.
See, I enjoy a tot.
No. How do you feel about hash browns, though?
Hash browns I like.
That's crazy.
No, are we talking hash browns or home fries?
Well, are home fries like the potato wedges?
I don't know. Depends. Everyone's got a different, like, there's like shredded potato, like cooked with onions and peppers and stuff, but then there's like sort of diced potato Like, everyone's got a different definition of hash brown. It's one of those things.
How do you feel about the gratins?
Great, great. Love them. Make them all the time, actually. Easy to make. Delicious. But I just don't care for tots. Can't really do it. I think it's that tater in there. I think really, if they were potato tots, I'd probably like
them. Put off by that?
Yeah. If they called them potato tots, I think I'd like them just fine.
Potato totlets.
Yes.
Potato young children.
Now they sound delicious. Cut into little cylinders.
More of that, please.
All right, next one comes from Surreal, and he says, hello, all. So I'm doing a double whammy, no whammies, big money, trying to catch up on your podcast. I'm going from beginning, just finished the Ghostbusters episode. Oh, God. One of my favorite movies, by the way. I think I patterned some of my voice inflections on Venkman's when I was in high school, but I digress. Yeah, I would have guessed that if you grew up in the 80s, either that or Fletch. That's just sort of the go-tos. Am I missing any there, Chris, or is there... Like, as a young smartass, it's pretty much Venkman or Fletch, isn't it?
Axel Foley. I mean,
that's fair.
Definitely.
And then a couple of years later, Christian Slater and Heathers.
Sure. I'll give it to for Christian.
So listening to old episodes and then jumping ahead to new ones as they're released. Oh, God. My question to you, how do I do this without suffering any permanent neurological, psychological, temporal damage? And would it break the space-time continuum if I ask questions from shows released months, if not years old? People do that all the time. And what happens if my present self interacts with your past selves with a question that would be read and answered by your future selves? I have a headache now. Yours in Cedrin, think about it. This has been, as always, surreal.
Let's ask that first question again.
Yeah.
The answer is too late.
Ah. He's already done neurological damage?
Of course. I mean, what?
Yeah. No, you really have to get careful with your time travel terminology, or it does definitely give you just nasty, horrible.
Yeah, that is not fun.
No.
That is the downside of...
That's why you put Doc Brown at a chalkboard.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can do this without, giving us a
headache. That dude will make even the worst time paradox easy to follow.
Right. No, I don't know. I would not advise listening to any show prior to, I don't know, this one.
Yeah. Well, you think we actually listen to this show after we're done with it?
Once you start having to refer to things in terms of the past pluperfect, once the word pluperfect enters into your grammar, you will have been well and good fucked.
So a pluperfect tot is pretty much the worst.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Yeah, I would.
Pluperfect tot sounds like a children's band.
I was just throwing
on the
you
weekends.
That for, yeah. That they opened for whatever that other one was. Now I completely forgot what I was going to say. Awesome.
Derailed.
Oh, we addressed pretty much all of this time travel nonsense in episode 100 anyway.
Oh, we did. Yes, we had a whole episode devoted to time travel.
Yes, and basically 100.
Or you will.
And we will again. That's the beauty of it. No, the thing is, and that's also a nice line to draw. Don't listen to anything before 100. Seriously, just don't. Come on, don't look at my report cards before like eighth grade, and don't pull on Superman's cape, and don't listen to anything below 100. Trust me, especially about the cape thing. That guy doesn't like that at all. All right.
Well, you're yanking on my cape. Ever since that damn song came out, everyone's always walking up to Superman and yanking on his cape.
He said, "Don't do that."
Freaking knock it off.
All right.
Stop.
The year is 2002. Pat McDonald is a broke college student. And he sees an ad in the paper. Come to Spokane. Donate sperm. $60 a pop. So he did. Like 5 times. Shirked off into little Ziploc cups. And drove him to Spokane, donated my sperm. It's now 2012. And, I'm wondering, what do you guys think are the chances that at some point I'm going to have some kid knocking on my door wanting to connect with their biological father and realizing that, I spend my Friday nights masturbating, playing Xbox, watching shitty horror movies. and then dusting the Cheeto dust off my dick in the sink. yeah. Mistake.
Okay.
Well.
First of all, Spokane is way the hell in eastern Washington, if I'm not mistaken. Which means they would have had to pay him a lot to get gas money to go all the way to the other side of the state. Jerk off into what appears to be a fancy Ziploc cup? I don't even know how that works. They must have been paying, like, top dollar. And this dude was not even a citizen at this point, as I recall.
Oh, my God!
Wow. An Irish immigrant sperm they're getting. I don't even know where to begin on this one. You guys got... What do you think?
Is he asking if it's a mistake?
I guess.
Look, he's already come at this from a negative aspect. There's no good result he could have. There's no like if the person that comes to him, if the result of his donation is somebody very successful, mm-hmm. then it's gonna reflect badly on him for his absence.
Sure, the whole Cheeto dick dust in the sink thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. And if the person that comes to him is a failure, then he's just going to, you know, project his own Cheeto dick dusting, you know, onto that person as well. He's already looking. It's all in the way he looks at it in the first place. If he characterizes this as a mistake,
right,
then it's only going to come back to him as a negative.
Would you stop saying "come," please? The first couple of times I'm like, okay, I'm not going to snicker, but now I think you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, well,
you feel like
it has come to that.
It feels like you've given this a bit of thought. Is this something that's in your past as well?
It is not. It is not. I have there's a joke there, but it goes dark real quick, so I'm not going to make that one.
All right, then. If you don't think we're ready for dark, that's...
It's not that you're not ready for the joke. It's that, you know, nobody wants a black guy sperm.
Well, that's just sad.
Yeah.
That's not dark. That's just
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's unfortunate. There's apparently... This is true. There's apparently a sperm bank, like, way on one of the upper floors of the Empire State Building, which I've always found hilarious.
Wow. How many people do you think have been there jerking off, looking out the window and just thinking, if I could just get this open?
I just wonder if it could, like, fly out the window somehow, like you hear about people dropping pennies.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the turnover on plumbers at the Empire State Building?
Plumbers are, quote, plumbers. I'm here to fix your pipes. I left the house for some Sonic. All right, Pat, I would love to think that there's a, you know, what are we talking, 15-year-old? Is that what he said? 10, 15?
I think so.
And 15. Little McDonald running around out there somewhere. That's fantastic. Matt, do you have anything to add to this?
I don't think so.
Very well. We have one more voicemail here from Tedro.
Hi, Elgar and Matt. This is Tedro. I'm calling to ask you a question for your podcast. Here is the question. If there was no such thing as Star Trek or Transformers, what show would you choose to review episode by episode if you were forced to review a show episode by episode? Thanks. Bye.
I like this Mystery Science Theater scenario where someone has shot us in a put us in a rocket and shot us into space and forced us to watch a TV show.
Man, those jumpsuits would get really, really filthy really, really fast.
Not if we had Ziploc cups.
That's true.
We'd be okay then.
Well, we've always talked about how someday when we finish Star Trek, we're going to do all of the Bruce Timm animated DC shows.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's the real answer. In 2018. I actually did the math the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody go, because we had a new listener and he asked, you know, how long are you going to be at this? And I finally sat down and figured it out. The middle of 2018.
Wow.
Is when we, assuming they don't make any new series, is when we'll be finished with Enterprise.
It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, I know. We're already halfway through
the next show. And it'll be here forever.
Yes, Enterprise will be forever. And yeah, we have discussed that. I honestly would like to do either Too Close for Comfort or Small Wonder, though.
Whoa. God. And you heard about that small wonder story today.
What?
There's a small wonder story today. In the news.
Is Vicky hot? Is that if we finally track down Vicky?
It's the boy, and he is destitute.
He's
due to a stripper that he dated emptying his trust fund.
That always ends well.
Yeah.
A stripper I dated got that's
yeah it. That's yeah exactly that's the beginning of a country song.
Yeah. I'd love to hear a country song incorporate a verse about being Jamie on Small Wonder, though. And if you can bring in Harriet the Nosy Neighbor, even better. Yes, I know my small wonder.
Wow.
That show, oh, God.
It's the science fiction version of Love, Sydney.
Do I remember that? Or is that just an instinctive laugh? That
Love,
sounds
Sydney.
Very familiar. Is it a Gary Marshall debacle?
No, that was Tony Randall in the early 80s and a little girl neighbor.
Oh, right. No, I'm thinking of Empty Nest.
And Swoozy Kurtz was the mom on that show.
Not ringing any bells.
Well, you weren't alive in the early 80s, Matt.
I'm remembering Empty Nest, so thanks for that.
Sure.
And it's great crossovers with the Golden Girls.
Yep.
It was kind of a proto Punky Brewster, I would say.
That's exactly how I got there, because I was thinking Punky Brewster, and then because the dad on Punky Brewster reminded me of Empty Nest guy, Richard Mulligan. Why do I know this stuff?
I would going back to the question, if I could, I would love to, and granted, I'm not, I have not yet been on either of your review shows.
You have an upcoming appearance scheduled for Post-Atomic Horror. So.
Sure.
The other thing she mentioned was just a solo thing, but yeah.
Right, but Monty Python is a show that. Most of the people that we know have never watched it in sequence unless they own it. And a lot of those jokes on Python, not a lot, but there are season-long bits and things that are referred to in one episode and don't come up later. And watching it in sequence, I think you'd get a new appreciation for that.
Well, the Dinsdale thing was a runner, which really surprised me. Like they set up the hedgehog in Dinsdale,
right,
and then it kept coming back,
right.
And I didn't realize that until I watched it in order.
But I'd love for somebody to go through and sort of pick those things out. Mm-hmm. I realize how difficult it would be with a show as eclectic and sort of structured chaos as Monty Python.
Well, and
I would love to see how the summaries are done.
Yeah. Right,
exactly.
We tried a couple of shows where we discussed something sort of like we tried to do a show about Homestar, and it just doesn't work when we're just talking about, like, we can either analyze the comedy or we can descend into quoting it for an hour. That's it. Like, it's really hard to have an intelligent discussion without either getting too over analytical or too silly.
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially with a show that's already going to be funnier than you could ever hope to be.
Right.
Right off the bat.
Exactly.
Yeah, then you just feel bad.
Yeah. Whereas, I'm sorry, I don't usually pat myself on the back, but I am definitely better than Plato's Stepchildren.
Yep.
That is just a fucking fact of life. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean a better writer. I mean better as a person. You know, I don't know. I mean, because the serious answer is it has to be something that I can both mock and take seriously at the same time. And there aren't very many things like that I love, but also don't take so seriously that I can't ridicule the hell out of it.
Mm. I would love to do a version of Post-Atomic Horror, like exactly the way we do Post-Atomic Horror of The X-Files.
Really?
Yeah. No, that's I love that show. It is ridiculous. The last, 5 years of it are terrible.
Yeah, see, I just was never... And the problem is with you and I doing it, we have the extra criteria of it has to be something that we're both really into.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
And I liked that show okay when it was big, and I lost him. Like, I was maybe 2 or 3 years, and that was it.
No, I'm a big X-Files fan. I'd love to do that.
An X-File?
No.
Okay, fine.
You gonna start calling yourself a Trekker?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, all right, then.
Fair enough. But no, there's the thing is, Matt and I don't actually like much of the same stuff, believe it or not. And so it would be hard for us to find. I mean, the Bruce Timm stuff would,
And that
honestly, you get past the Star Trek stuff and we almost pretty much hate each other.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I hate video games and comics and he hates me. So
that's true.
Do you think it's wise to embark on something like what you're doing at Post-Atomic Horror with something that you haven't seen? Because, you know, my immediate answer is Monty Python, but it occurs to me I haven't seen any of the Bruce Timm stuff.
Really? Any of it?
Like, yeah.
You didn't watch the Batman show or anything?
No, I didn't. It was at a time where I had sort of written it off as all kid stuff, and I've heard good stuff about it.
Sure.
In the years, I just felt like a lot of it sounded like I needed to be really into it and needed to start from the beginning. But of course, you know, you're talking to comic book nerds, so of course they're going to make it seem that way when you hear about it. So I've only limitedly got into the comic book adaptations. Animated on television, like I saw the version of what was that super ultimate All Star Superman.
Yeah, that one was okay. But whenever they take a story directly like that, I think they really strip out a lot of what makes it great. And like they have to streamline it for 90 minutes, and I think you lose a lot.
That's why I think it's great that they're doing Dark Knight Returns as a two parter.
Well, yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, because the year one adaptation was one of the best. Like, mostly I like it when they take the essence of a character and make a new story. But year one was, I think, the only one where they actually literally adapted a book and I really liked it. So the fact that they'd
see year one.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's easily my favorite of the ones that they've done. And that makes me think that Dark Knight's going to work exactly because it's very similar, you know, very similar sensibilities and stuff. Bryan Cranston is Commissioner Gordon.
That is just perfect. Gordon.
And, it's mostly him. Batman's in it a little, but it's pretty much just a Gordon story.
That is perfect casting.
Yeah, it is. It's really worth checking out. We got a little more serious than I expected.
Sorry.
Yeah, you should be. God damn it. This is because you have kids now, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
I was just about to wrap things up and ask if you have anything to plug. Do you want to plug your kids?
Regularly.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I'm just going to let that roll by, weren't you?
Yeah. Do I want to plug anything? No, not really.
Have you done any stand-up lately? I've been meaning to ask you about that.
No, not stand-up.
I mean, I know you've been, you know, your life situation is, you know, you got a lot to take care of right now, but...
Right. The funniest thing that I did that isn't involving you guys was actually yesterday. I entered the Howard Stern Celebrity Impressions
contest. Nice. What'd you do?
Sean Connery.
Huh. Very nice. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna dance like a monkey and do my Sean Connery.
Unless... I figured I'd leave that. I wasn't going to put you on the spot. If you want to, that's fine. If not, that's
awesome. But I feel I owe your viewers something. Of course, they're listeners, not viewers. Anyway.
No, we're perfectly comfortable calling them listeners.
Is this radio or television?
Well, you know, that's why he stopped acting, because he's very confused now. But he did. Yes. What was the last thing that he did that did really badly? Was it the Avengers or was it something after that?
His last movie was
League. That's what it was. Yeah, and he's like, I didn't understand the script, but I figured that's just how movies are now, so I did it anyway. And I yeah, that's exactly what, like, if you track down the quote, it's something very much like that. Like, I don't know, my kids like this kind of crap, and that's just how movies are. I didn't get it, but whatever.
And you mean CGI?
He was handed that, and apparently he was offered a role in Lord of the Rings, and he turned that down. And it was a Gandalf, I think.
Wow, really?
I don't know, because I don't know my Tolkien at all, but I think it was some big role in that.
One of the wizards?
Google it, nerds.
He was very clearly offered the role that John Hurt took in the final Indiana.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that was obviously written for Connery. That was a smart one.
Yeah.
That was a smart dodge.
Yeah, but he was already well retired at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Spielberg figures, I can do anything.
Well, I mean, Anthony Hopkins has been retired how many times now?
That's true. He's like the Who.
Oh, Let me get this straight. You want to have a small boy swinging on a vine with a bunch of monkeys?
Are you out of your fucking mind, Spiel?
So, in your impression, did you knock a woman down the stairs or like anything like that?
I actually made it specific. I took a speech that was from the Stern Show and did it as Sean Connery.
I see. So no Zardoz references then?
No, I don't. Have I seen that?
Oh, God, you need sober? To see Zardoz.
No, the question is, have I seen it sober?
Oh.
Like do I have the recall? Do I have the recall to
Zardoz is singularly bad in a way that I've never seen, which is that it is a failed art movie with a huge budget.
Yeah.
It's trying for really esoteric, really over-the-top like symbolism and stuff, but oh, my God, it's so great.
It's a good double feature with the original Wicker Man. Wicker Man is a horror film that in the beginning doesn't have a musical sequence with Peter Sellers' wife Britt Eklund.
I think so.
She sings a song, and it's just like, and then. Whatever happens, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but whatever happens, happens, and it's.
And the bees? Is that the one with the bees?
That is not in this one.
Okay.
No, that's the remake. But they do torture and kill the Equalizer, who is he's the I don't remember what it was, Edward something.
He was the cop.
Edward James Olmos.
Yes, Edward James Olmos.
He was in his last movie was Hot Fuzz, I think. The guy that played the Equalizer, Edward Woodward.
Edward Woodward. How could you not remember anything like that? Edward Woodward. I completely forgot where we were going with all this, but
you were asking me what I'd been plugging.
Oh, right.
Talking about Zardoz, and then we got to The Wicker Man. But Zardoz.
Natural I have seen. Impression.
Well, the important thing is that you should walk away from all of this to see Zardoz.
Yes.
Yes. No, I've seen it. I've seen it. It's just
you were just on the crack at that point.
Yeah, it's I have to be on the low sleep or some sort of influence has to be underway in order for me to really
to watch Sean Connery in a loincloth flying around in a giant stone head.
Yeah. It's like the Wicker Man meets Logan's Run. That's what I think Zardoz is.
That's fair. Only with more Sean Connery. Actually, as Irish Gav described it, Sean Connery in a nappy. I don't think you can put a finer point on it than that.
I think isn't he wearing Raquel Welch's outfit from 10,000 BC or something?
No, he's wearing Barbarella's outfit. I'm not putting on these cone breasts.
Don't just stand there. Let's get to it. Like a pole. There's nothing to it.
Oh, I bet Madonna's had Sean Connery. 89 when Last Crusade hit and when she was like at her peak, they totally hooked up. And she probably had him and Harrison Ford at the same time.
I've never been a three-way. She's very interesting. You should write a song called Justify My Love.
It should go like this, wanting. Waiting. Needing. Oh, God. All right, I think it's time for us to stop talking now.
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham, with Mark Bosco, Chris Coleman, Brian Lynch, Sabrina Snyder, and Amanda Smith. It was written by Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham, with the creator of McBurgerty's new salty jalapeno garlic mayo sauce, Gav Brown. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012. Mass Crusade!
guys, overtime's canceled.
Ah,